to another episode of We the People Radio. Actually, it's not the other episode. It's the other half of the episode.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
Round two.
Just round two, right? Because we got Lyle, so we gotta get our little comedy hats on. So it's, let's see, July 28th, 2024. Still. In our first hour, we had Claire Lopez with us. Second hour, we have Dr. Lyle Rapacki. He's been on so many times that he has his own tab on the website. It's the laughing. Yeah. It's the laughing that works for us.
Let me just butt in right here. And
yeah.
Say, I introduced Claire Lopez to you all.
I know, and then we took her.
Yeah, and now I'm playing second fiddle.
Yes, which is a testament to my incredible skill.
I love Claire, and I have, oh my gosh, we've known each other quite a few years. We've spoken together on many occasions across the nation. We've briefed many people. She's the real deal. So I'm sure your folks, your audience really got a good insight. But
well,
I still don't understand why I'm second.
She responded first, actually. That's just the flat fact of it. But when she wrote back and she goes, well, let's see, because I said, like, oh, what do you want to talk about? She goes, well, we could talk about U.S. foreign policy or the Trump assassination or the Biden pullout from the presidential campaign or the Harris campaign or on the trail and then Israel. Then we could talk about Hamas. And I was like, yeah, okay, well, that's going to take like 2 hours. I'm not calling Lyle. And then she goes, oh, I can only stay out for an hour. I'm like, oh, I'm calling Lyle.
She's the real deal.
Yeah,
she's
a smart cookie.
I love her as a sister, and but I thought it was hilarious when you texted me and said, hey, do you mind just filling in for the second hour? We have Claire at first.
And then I said, oh, and you have to, because I sent you a funny Seinfeld book for Christmas, but I didn't mail it till March, but you still got it already.
It's right here, Seinfeld, The Day of Nothing. It is a phenomenal book about nothing.
Because for years we've been talking about doing a show about nothing, and then we always talk about real things and blows our whole program. But
well, Pape Machinery.
Oh, yeah, we skipped them this hour. Oops.
Why are we skipping? No, we didn't mean to.
We just sort of shot right past Bill. Bill, do you want to go into what do you call it? Sponsorship?
No. You've robbed me of my joy now. I might pick it up at the half hour, but right now I'm kind of in shock that happened.
Well, then I'll wait. I'll pull back.
I was telling Claire that on Progressive Radio I learned that Kamala doesn't have a cackle. She is sharing her inner joy with us, and we are incredibly blessed to have her do that. And so when you hear her cackle now, just know that is her inner joy. And, she's sharing it with us.
You know, we're off to a good start already in this second hour with the junior varsity of about nothing.
That's
right. So I just
heavy on the Shazam.
You've got listeners over in Benghazi or someplace. I don't know where they're
all. And they're like, wait, what are they talking about?
Yeah, they're like, what is this about? No.
So we've done this so many times, I didn't even bother to find out what we were talking about, because I figured, well, we'll just figure it out as we go. What did I call this? What did I call your segment? I looked up the wrong one. Sorry. Yeah.
It's actually, if you listen very closely, it's all in code. So listeners, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
I called it Arizona Update with Dr. Lyle Rapacki.
Oh, see, this is secret squirrel stuff.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Well, I know you guys are always brewing stuff on the election-ness.
We're always brewing.
There's always brewing on the election-ness over there in Arizona land.
Well, you know, I just had on my... I'm doing two shows nowadays. I'm doing Arizona Today, and people can go to that website, Arizona... lowercase, Arizona2day.com, Arizona2day.com. And you'll see that I took a couple of months leave because I started a new show called Yavapai Speaks. And you can get that through Prescott E-News. Just go to Prescott E-News on the...
Oh, isn't that where you started? Isn't that where it all began?
Boy, you've got a good memory. Yeah, 4 years, four or five. Wow, time flies. Yeah, 5 years ago, four. Four, sorry, guys. And I did the legislative, I coordinated the legislative hearing in November 30th of 2020 when Mayor Giuliani came to Arizona, came to Phoenix, and it was a whole day of testimony on election fraud. And that was the election of 2020 that was stolen. And I coordinated all that. And about 6-7 months later, I coordinated the next joint legislative hearing in Oral Valley, which is south of Phoenix. So I was writing some commentary for Prescott News, and they asked me, would you do a podcast? And me being so sophisticated, I go, what's a podcast? I had no idea what a podcast. And so they worked through that with me after some giggles, and I started Arizona Today. And it took off by God's grace. And all kidding aside, and people know what I'm saying because they've seen the evidence. It was after 2 weeks, let's say, two, three, it was taking 5 hours a day to open the mail. I am not making this up. Five hours a day. There was so much mail.
So you didn't even notice that my book didn't come at Christmas time? You wouldn't have gotten to it till March anyway. I did leave the Christmas wrapping on. Days, I got a chuckle out of that.
Way to go, Aaron. Good thing. And so the Arizona Today started, you're right, with Prescott News. And then I branched off from Prescott News on purpose. It was not no big deal. Because I needed to do some things and go some places with it. It continued to grow. Well, 4 months ago, the publisher, the owner of Prescott News, asked if I would come back and do a show, and I'd have free reign. So we started 6 weeks ago with Yavapai Speaks at Prescott News. And I'm focusing on Yavapai County, but not just so completely that I'm not dealing with Arizona issues or even national issues. But as anything, you guys know this really well, you start a program, it doesn't just start in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It takes good several weeks to kind of iron out bugs and get things going and start to get viewers. So that's where we're at. We're at 7 weeks now. Yes, what is today? Sunday. Oh, on Friday, on Yavapai Speaks at Prescott News, I had Michelle Burchill on. Michelle is the recorder for Yavapai County, and we were discussing election integrity. And you'll see it, that whole show is like 24 minutes, no commercials. And she talks about the steps that she has deliberately taken and where her values are when it comes to election integrity. And I said on the show a couple of times, I've known Michelle going on 2 years. I've been in private meetings where we've worked on election security issues, and she's the same. This is not some public persona she's promoting. She is very dedicated, and she is not going to put up with any shenanigans or whatsoever. And she even talks on the show, and I won't give it away, somebody said that they got two ballots, and she was on top of that, like, oof. And she wrote them, she called them, and it turned out not to be. It was not a mistake by the recorder's office, it was a mistake by the citizen and how they interpreted something. But she will get on the phone personally. She's got a nice-sized staff, but she takes this seriously. Now, I tell you this, because the other 14 counties in Arizona only has 15 counties, the recorders have really watched and talked with her about what she has done in Yavapai County. For those listening, Yavapai County is north of Phoenix by about an hour. It's in Prescott. They are wanting to copy her, and some already have. Now, it goes even beyond that. Across the country, a number of county recorders and election officials have already reached out to her to see what can be done. Now, I lay that out there because on my Arizona Today show on Thursday, I recorded Tina Peters. Tina is the county recorder, if you will, in Grand Junction, Colorado. She is facing 7 felony charges because, you ready for this?
Okay.
She reported, how dare she, reported that there was election fraud, election security issues to the county supervisors, the county attorney, the governor of Colorado, and others. And they couldn't get her to shut up. So they have now filed 7 felony charges against her, looking at 30 to 35 years in prison instead of addressing the issues. So on Tuesday, this Tuesday, her trial begins in Colorado, and it will be aired nationally, by the way, on Truth Social, I think it is. But Tina Peters is the recorder in Colorado who's fighting the fight up there because there was tremendous election fraud.
And so what was the excuse they used to put her, you know, to make her have to go into a trial and everything? What are they accusing her of? Hurting their feelings? Is that a thing now?
It's pretty much that way. That she drummed up things, that she hid documents, that she invented documents, that she did all sorts of forgery things, which is hilarious in one sense, in a macabre sense of the word, because she reported to various officials and took in examples, and by God's grace, she took stuff away for safekeeping. Otherwise, it would have been destroyed, because they've done everything they can to destroy evidence, much like what Maricopa County, Arizona did when we uncovered it in 2020. Maricopa County, absolutely corrupt, and the people running it, the supervisors, county supervisors or county commissioners, however you call them, were very complicit in the cover-up of election fraud in Arizona. And it has been pointed out, it's been proven, and they're still not recanting. They've done everything they could in Maricopa County, and very similar in Colorado. Her case in Colorado is very similar to what happened in Phoenix, Maricopa County, and then also down in Tucson, Pima County, which is the Tucson Oral Valley area.
I know in 2020, you, or thereafter, you were very active in exposing a lot of the fraud that went on. Has anything really been done since then to prevent that level of fraud from happening again?
Well, that's a great question, and if I had been on for the first hour, we may have had time to discuss.
Oh, and there it is. Okay. There it is.
No, I'm sharing. I'm sharing in the circle of trust.
So, right.
Bill, I know you didn't make the decision, because I did not get an email text from you. I got it from...
That woman that's at Bill's house.
And she mitigated it all by lauding how wonderful the book was she sent me, and
yep.
I hope I enjoyed it. And just, you know, you're such a great person. And by the way, you're junior varsity, so you're on second hour.
Lyle, that's called working it.
And you did, Aaron. Miss Aaron.
Yeah, I was working it.
Bill, wow. When's our Pape commercial?
Now we made it weird.
Because some things, yes, there have been some changes, positive, but there's still very serious concerns, because there's been a lot of cover-up, a lot of denial. I coordinated that legislative hearing on November 30th, 2020. And, you know, preparing for that, we reviewed the documents, we reviewed the evidence, we reviewed the subject matter specialists who were going to testify. I did not have final say. The chairman of the joint legislative hearing and the vice chairman did. All kidding aside for 30 seconds, I was given about 95% leeway. There were a couple of things I did request or suggest that were overturned, but it was done privately. But I was given tremendous leeway from everything from putting little peppermints in front of each legislator in a glass of water to security to media. I coordinated all 8 media channels or platforms, national media. They were conservative, like One America News, Breitbart, Right Side, stuff like that. So I was given tremendous latitude. I was very fortunate, very humbled to have tremendous latitude to see behind the curtain. So to your question, Bill, yes, that started a process by which for a good couple of years I was allowed to consult in the preparation of how to take this information and put it out. On my earlier shows of Arizona Today, and that's how that came about, is because people were clamoring for information. And the publisher, owner of Prescott News, said, why don't you do the podcast? I've already told you I didn't know what that was. we did it in studio at Prescott E! News, and it took off. And I was able to bring on Mayor Giuliani, Doug Logan, who ended up coordinating the forensic audit for Arizona, Phil Waldron, who is a national security and cybersecurity specialist, and others. And we discussed, we moved the curtain back, and I told the audience, I said, hang in there. Please be a little patient. I promise you, we will be moving the curtain back. But I have to also tell you, there are some national security issues and very sensitive issues, and we're going to have to go about this somewhat slow, not dilatorily, but slow, because it's so complex. What I can discuss now is that China was very involved in the overthrow of the election.
Hey, Lyle, hold that thought. We have to take a break, and I don't want to interrupt that. Because that is important that we can talk about it. I didn't realize we get to talk about it now.
Are we doing Pape? Do I get to do my Pape commercial?
Darn yes. It. So I should have had it play the tractor song.
Get that script out I sent you.
We'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Lyle Verpacki, and you're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Double wide quick stop, midnight tea top, Jack in a cherry coke town. Mama and daddy put their roots right here, cause this is where the car broke down. Yellow dog school bus, kicking up red dust, picking us up by a barbed wire fence. MTV on the RCA, no AC in the vents. We were Jesus, Sammy, blue jean baby, born in the USA. Trailer park, truck stop, faded little map dots, New York to L.A. We were teenagers. Dreaming, front seat leaning, baby, come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, Uptown, Down Home, American Kids. Growing up in little pink houses.
I thank God for my life, for the stars and stripes. May freedom forever fly. Let it ring. Salute the ones who died. The ones that give their lives, so we don't have to sacrifice all the things we love, like our chicken fries and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Even though I hate chicken, but it's not made out of chicken.
Yeah.
So I've allowed the song because it isn't really about chicken. All right, Lyle. So the Chinese wormed their way into the election.
Well, okay, they wormed their way, but they were more than just worming their way in. There is sufficient evidence that they coordinated with Dominion the compromising of the Dominion voting machines. They were involved. Cuba was involved. Venezuela was involved. There was a satellite involved. Hang in there for a minute. The whole idea of at 1 o'clock in the morning, thereabouts, you'll understand what I'm about to say, were six states, the voting systems went down because of a toilet overflow or a bucket of water.
Oh, yeah, right.
All the different. That was all pre-planned. It was all programmed. It was all part of the overall coordination so they could count how far Trump, how many votes Trump had versus Biden. And we know that we know that we know the evidence is there that especially in each of the six states, Arizona being one, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, I mean, I just go down the list. If Biden was behind, let's say, 10,000 votes, the water pipes broke, quote unquote, which they did not, by the way. Shut down the machines, sent everybody home. 3 hours later, or four, they reopened the counting, quote unquote, and voila, all of a sudden, Biden's ahead by 20,000 votes. We know that in New York, a truck was intercepted as it was getting ready to offload ballots. phony ballots. The driver came forward and testified. The same happened in other states. In Arizona, 75,000 ballots were never even counted to this day. So I can go down the list, and the evidence, not the opinion, was presented in November of that first joint legislative hearing. And then that created enough of a stir by which Arizona then held an emergency legislative hearing in the Judiciary Committee. They subpoenaed the Maricopa County supervisors and elections people. And they went, and that was on air, it was on TV. And you can watch the give and take, the back and forth, where the county supervisors or commissioners, if that's where you're from, denied, and then finally capitulated, said, yeah, you're right. Okay, we're going to look into this, and we're going to bring forward all the evidence and bring it before you, which they did not. They hid it. They tried to destroy it. They were caught. They were stopped. This just goes on and on and on. Now, what I can tell you is, and maybe for consideration, we do a show with Doug Logan. Doug Logan coordinated the forensic audit that took place. The forensic audit came about after both joint legislative hearings, the first one in November of 2020, and then, I may be wrong on this, guys, I apologize, 6-7 months later, we did it again in Oral Valley, just south of Phoenix, because additional evidence was presented. The evidence presented in the Phoenix hearing was discarded or done away with in such a fashion, it was shelved by the Attorney General of Arizona, Brnovich. Now, in his defense, it's going to sound like I'm contradicting myself, but in a little bit of a defense, we learned, not until later, that his chief deputy hid or kept certain documents and information from him.
Oh, so he was making a decision with part of the facts.
Correct. But we did not know that part. We knew that he had been furnished evidence, not opinion, and he did nothing with it, except, well, we're still investigating. Well, you know, after 6 months and all the evidence, and then we had another legislative hearing, and even more evidence came forward. And one of the things that they said to us is, well, we couldn't consider the evidentiary packet you gave us because they didn't follow chain of custody. Well, that was a crock. I was in charge of that also. So for the Oral Valley hearing, chain of custody means when you have a piece of evidence, who gets to touch it, who gets to see it. And each time it's seen or touched by someone outside of the actual lineage, law enforcement lineage, it could be jeopardized, it could be watered down, it could be compromised, it could be argued that something was changed. So I made darn certain that when a person testified, they got up from the testimony table, which was right in front of the legislators. I had two law enforcement people right there. They stood. Their testimony was put into a sealed bag held by law enforcement. They, the witness, and the two law enforcement officers walked out. I didn't follow them closely, but I followed out to make sure. And they went out of the room so the next witness could come and testify, and two other law enforcement people stood behind them. The first person being ushered out, they go into a side hallway that was secure. In other words, people couldn't get to it. There was other law enforcement. The bag that had been sealed was then transferred into another evidentiary bag. Signatures were made on the bags. Witnesses, which are law enforcement witnesses, co-signed it, showing that they witnessed the exchange. The bag was sealed in another bag, and I mean sealed. I'm not talking like you get the drugstore little sealing bags or something. It was zipped and locked. A flap was put over it that could not be opened, and if it was, you could see that it was violated. And then that was signed by the controlling officer, the handling officer. The handling officer was a law enforcement officer who held onto that bag. And then when the day's testimony was over, that same officer had all, I think there were six or five bags. And then all of that was transported directly by law enforcement to the Attorney General's office. So nobody, the legislators, nobody had access or touched any of that stuff. It was then transported personally and given to the Chief Deputy Attorney General the next day. We found out later that some of that never was seen by the Attorney General. This has gone on and on and on throughout courts. That's why you've heard cases about Kerry Lake and Mark Fincham and Abe Hamaday, who ran for Attorney General, appealing cases before the courts, and the courts refuse to take them or they kick them out because there's insufficient evidence, blah, 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 blah. There is a part of a huge, and that would be a different show, believe me, conspiracy, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but we've uncovered tremendous evidence showing the complicity of it all and the complicity of a number of people. There has been a coup, I will say, over the 2020 election. They did not think Trump would get in. He did. They were stunned. There was a day or two or a month or two in the initial Trump presidency, they didn't know what to do. The air went out of the room. But then they immediately started the work on everything from Russia to everything else to get rid of him. And they kept it up for 4 years. Come 2020, the election was absolutely compromised. There was a coup. And the way this information came about, we had a lot of information given during the hearing in Phoenix and then again in Oral Valley. But I had a gentleman call a senator, state senator, from out of state, and he said, do you know Dr. Ataki? Oh, yeah, we know him really well. We've known him 10 years. Can you get a message to him? And they said, yes. So I get a message from a senator, and the message was, somebody from Georgia has information on the Dominion machines and this and that. And I was getting bombarded from all across the nation. Everybody had inside information.
Right.
And I thanked the senator. I said, you know, you talk to the person. And so the senator calls the person back. The person said, I understand what he's doing. He's probably being bombarded. I want you to tell him this, this, and this. The senator calls him back later that day, I believe it was, and said, you know, Dr. Lyle, I need to tell you this, this, and this. And the phone, I went quiet, and I said, do you know this person? Well, yeah, I know of him, and I know it. Okay, you have his phone number? Yes. So I called the person, and I said, you know, it'd be like calling Bill or Aaron. You guys are good. Bill, this is Dr. Rapacki in Arizona. I understand you called Senator Smith. I'm just making up the name. And you gave information. Is that correct? Yes, it is. I said, okay, don't answer anything right now. I need to know, will you do a background? Can I do a background check on you? And I don't mean Facebook. I'm talking, is there anything from kindergarten? I'm going to find out. Do you have a parking ticket that you didn't pay 30 years ago? Is there anything? No, sir. I said, give me your name, Social Security number, date of birth, and your residence. And he did. I said, okay, I'm going to ask you one more time. Is there anything I'm going to learn about you that? And he said, no, sir. He then said, sir, I know what you're going to do, and that's perfectly fine with me. He goes, I am a National Guard, and he gave me his rank and all that. And he goes, I was in charge of all operations for the Dominion training. I said, what Dominion training? He said, here in this state, and he told me the state, Dominion did a training, a weekend, well, almost a four-day training. So that'd be a weekend, but a four-day training where they called in appropriate people in the electoral process from six states. Isn't that funny? Six states. And they were here all weekend, and they went through an entire mock electoral process. He said they scheduled the breakdown of the machines, the water problems, the toilet problem, whatever. It was all scheduled. they practiced how you can sit outside of voting center with a laptop and access the satellite and change the numbers. You can also make it so a boat comes in, it doesn't get tabulated, doesn't get registered. So we went through an hour and a half of him explaining all of this to me in great detail. I said, thank you. Again, I'm going to ask you, is there anything that you've lied to me about, misled? I went through a whole list. He said, no, sir. I said, I want you to stand by. I will be calling you back. It might be an hour. And I did. And I said, so-and-so is going to be calling you. Excuse me, guys. So-and-so is going to be calling you. It was not Doug Logan. It was the national security person, the cybersecurity person. I said, this person is going to be calling you. He's going to use my name, and he's going to give you this code word. If none of that happens, you hang up immediately. If it does happen, I want you to tell this person everything you've told me. And he did. And this person went to his state, this guy's state, and he took an investigator with him. And they went up there the next day. They flew up, and they collected all this data. And they had it securely packaged and secure and transported back to their home state where they sat and reviewed it. Now, what happened then was it was all validated, and we gave that to President Trump's team, his senior people. And that's why you saw in early 2021 information going out and by several people, Mike Lindell and several others. And we needed to stop that, so we pulled the plug on it because it was too sensitive, and we weren't sure exactly what steps were taken. Now, I tell you that whole story because that led to a couple of additional Senate hearings in Arizona, which led to the forensic audit, the first one in the nation's history that Doug Logan coordinated. And since the forensic audit, what was learned is all of that turned out to be true. We also saw and learned how the machines were compromised, how they could be stopped, how the numbers could be changed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, Doug Logan is writing a book, and it will come out in October, I believe it is. And it's a tell-all book because not all that happened was reported. And I'll leave it at that. He did the forensic audit. He was not allowed to report certain things. And that's about to change come October. So what I would recommend to y'all is we can talk off air and we work out a situation where and maybe Doug will not allow that until the book comes out. I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it. But that would be a fascinating show because there'd be a lot of information that y'all have not heard.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, it'd be earth-shattering. There was a coup, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist. And now, 4 years later, I don't really have the patience for people who, and I admit it, I'm not proud, I'm just telling you, I don't have the patience for people to say, oh, that's a bunch of crap, and, you know, bye-bye, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
way.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying I'm right for the listeners. I'm just telling you, for 4 years we fought this fight, and we are concerned that it's going to happen again here. I can tell you that having Tina Peters in Colorado fighting what she's fighting, Michelle Burchill here in Yavapai County, Arizona, down in Cochise County, Arizona, the Attorney General of Arizona, who's a socialist, and she's just completely a slob, you can quote me. She went after the county supervisors in Cochise County, that's down south of Arizona, and told them to cease and desist, that they had no right to not authorize the or certify the election. She's absolutely wrong, and she claims she's gone to law school, but I don't know what law school, J.C. Penney's or something, because under our Constitution, not Arizona, under the U.S. Constitution, and this was pointed out to our Arizona governor and others when they said, no, there's nothing we can do. And the Speaker of the House of Representatives in Arizona said, nope, there's nothing here. That is all under the 10th Amendment. Excuse me, guys, I have a frog. Under the 10th Amendment, the states have the authority to, because they're sovereign, they have the authority to certify an election. The legislature, the Senate, has the authority to authorize a recount, a recall, or to not authorize the election, to certify it. And they tried to lie and say the Senate had no business, the legislature had no business, blah, blah, blah. Well, that was all proven wrong, and that's how come, even though the U.S. Congress and Senate went ahead and authorized the election of 2020, that's how the forensic audit came about in Arizona, the first one in the nation. 26 states came to Arizona. They sent delegations, legislative delegations, to observe what Arizona was doing. You must appreciate there was no rule book on this.
Yeah, right. It hadn't been done before. Hey, Lyle, we'll give you 5 seconds to get the frog out of your throat, and then we've got to take a really quick break. Don't we all?
Oh, I'm going to have a maker's mark.
Yeah, there you go. We all need a drink. So I forgot to do a little shout-out to the Olympics, so I got them covered in this break, too, for you, just for your listening pleasure. But we'll go out with just a regular song about bad people who screw up elections. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Speak of the devil. The devil appears, waiting for someone. Been waiting for years.
Who'd think we'd be using that for the Olympics, huh? Oh, it never gets old. That song has so much more application than it ever did back when they first played it. All right, so, Lyle, I got a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so now the push is for paper ballots. Which I'm not opposed to at all, but I remember when you guys were doing all of this in Arizona because of the 2020 election. I think it all happened in 2021, but you had fraudulent paper ballots, correct?
Yes.
And so recounting the paper ballots didn't really solve your problem, did it?
Well, it's more complex than that.
I just want a yes or no answer. Judge, can you make him answer yes or no? Permission to treat the witness as hostile? I've stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, too.
Wow. Bill, from now on, I'm not sure about being the junior varsity guest anymore.
She waits for the last 10 minutes to really.
And then pantses him right there, out on the field. Boom!
Talking about third.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay, well, so, no, for real.
No, you are. I know. there is a process that was not followed. You realize we did paper ballots for 100 years or so in America. In fact, if you look at the last election in Florida, it was all done by paper ballots, and they counted them and machine. They went in and did the machines, but they had redone their machinery. They did away with Dominion, and they changed their whole apparatus, and they had their vote tally and their official results that night. Now, that's Florida. They're a lot bigger than Arizona. But what they did is they showed that you can come in on election day fill out your ballot in paper, put it in the bin right there, a clear bin, by the way, a clear view bin that is monitored both by cameras and by a poll worker. And before you got to vote, you had to go in and prove citizenship. Let me, we don't have the time here today to get into all this, but the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, that's a liberal area, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals just ruled last week that it was legal to demand citizenship for voting, that you had to prove citizenship, that it was not illegal or racist or any of the other crap these socialists want to throw at you. And that ruling was, I don't know if you can hear me, I'm pulling up, trying to pull up something. That ruling was part of what Mark Fincham brought together. And I don't have it in front of me. When you know that? Just when I need it, I don't have it. But I can send it to you if you want to post it.
Yeah, sure. We can put it on the page for today.
Yeah, for the front page of it. I will send it to you. The Ninth Circuit ruled that it was constitutional. It was not bigoted and all the other stuff to request that the person coming forward to vote had proof of active citizenship in the state or county, if you will, that you're at, in the state and as a United States citizen. Now, that just came out a week ago Friday. You probably never heard anything about it on any of the news anywhere. I will send you the front page of it, and then you can look it up. But they just ruled on that. Now, it's taken 4 years. That was filed. And it's worked its way through the process, and it's been denied, kicked out, put on appeal. I mean, they've just continued. George Wentz, who's a phenomenal attorney, and I've known George for years, and Mark Fincham, they fought this thing, and they did not give up, no matter how many snowballs were thrown at them, if you will. And the Ninth Circuit just ruled. Now, going back to what you're asking, it is proper to come into a selected, certified, designated voting center, made sure that you're registered to vote, that you are a citizen and have proof of citizenship, and then you get your ballot and go over and vote by hand like we used to.
Sure.
And then that ballot is walked over to one of a couple of different boxes. I'm going to call them boxes, but they are clear.
Yeah, so you can see what's going in them. Well, like here, everyone in the universe gets a ballot mailed to them since the pandemic caused everybody to have a ballot mailed to them. So I guess my thought is, it doesn't really do a lot of good to count the paper ballots if you can't verify the paper ballots are legit, like that they've gone to actual people that should be voting and that they're...
Right, so that's why it's been argued that only in-person voting be returned. And I'm going to tell you, in 2024, there are states that are moving in that direction and have already moved in that direction. Florida is one, Texas is another. I'm not saying all 300 and some odd counties in Texas, but a lot of them are. Pennsylvania, Georgia is trying to do that. They're being batted down right now. Wisconsin, I've had phone calls from Wisconsin. They're looking at doing just that. So there is a movement definitely in counties to reestablish that form of voting, to do away with a lot of the shenanigans and to maintain court security, ballot security, I should say.
Sure.
And I don't know if I answered your question. See, here's the other thing. I wrote this in an article. I write for Substack. I think, Aaron, you get my Substacks.
Yeah, I do.
And one of my articles I wrote, it's States Are Sovereign, and that was the title of the article. And I wrote it on April 8th. So what is today, July? So April, 4 months ago, April, May, June, July. April 8th, States Are Sovereign. And that was one of the big arguments, that the state does not have the authority to do this and do that, blah, blah, blah. what I wrote was the contract, the Constitution, is between the sovereign states, the state, and the federal government is a creation of the contract and not a party. So the federal government is a creation of the states. They're not a party. This has a lot to do with who's really in charge here. Well, it's really the states, and they don't want you to know that. When the federal government steps outside its boundaries, since legally speaking, we are a constitutional republic and not a kingdom or a democracy, our remedy lies with the states reasserting their sovereignty and taking responsibility for the power originally delegated to them by we, the people. The states have an obligation to protect the people from an abuse of power by the central government. This is accomplished when the states step in between the central government and the people to maintain the limited power of the central government. And I'll send this to you also, and maybe you consider posting it. And then also the Ninth Circuit ruling that just came out. Excuse me, I still have that frog. And then I sent you this morning a copy of my book that's coming out, Our Forefathers Truly Appealed to Heaven. And I'm hoping you'll post that on your website.
We always have that. We have that on all the pages that we do with you.
Well, and I thank you.
And you should know that because you should be looking at our site all the time.
Hello? Hello? I couldn't hear. There was a disruption. For junior varsity players, the insignificant people.
You have your own tab, for heaven's sake. Gave you a tab.
Well, the reason I'm promoting that is because in my little book, is this quick reading little 25-minute book. It's out on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all the Walmart and all that. What I'm showing people is that our foundational principles are clearly under assault. They want to do away with the Constitution. They want to redo the whole makeup of this nation into a Marxist society and collapse it into the New World Order. And that's what's going on with the voting process. And that's what we uncovered in 2020. And the gentleman who came forward, as I mentioned, I did not mention name and all that, but we verified everything he said. He was a National Guard officer, and he was in charge of all coordination of that four-day voting process. His credentials are impeccable. He died 2 years ago, but his information we've got, and it showed that this was a very sophisticated, multidimensional, planned coup. And I am not a conspiracy theorist. And we and others have been proving this step by step for the last 4 years. Different states have been coming forward and pushing back. Tina Peters in Colorado is doing just that this coming week, and that's why she was taken to court to shut her up. And hopefully, they're hoping to put her in prison, and I believe not. But I believe when it all hits the fan here, there's going to be a lot of egg on a lot of people's faces. So this has been a big battle to get rid of since 2016. That's 8 years ago, to get rid of not only Trump, but what he stands for and the overall foundational principles of this nation. And it's coming down to it in the next 5 months. We're either going to save this nation by November and then come January if he when he takes the oath of office or not. And I am not a theatrical person. I mean, I love playing with you guys, and you guys know that. But when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah, but in real life, I mean, this is serious business. And for all those people that are listening thinking, well, there you go. It doesn't matter if we vote. That's the wrong takeaway.
Now, I'll tell you what you do. You if you get your ballot in the mail, Don't mail it back in. If you have drop boxes and that's the least you can do, then all right, take it to a drop box. I would advise you to take it to the voting precinct drop box at least, but I would advise you to take your ballot that came in the mail.
You have to. If you don't do that here, you're issued a provisional ballot and it isn't counted for quite some time because they have to make sure you didn't vote twice.
Okay. Well, take your ballot and walk it in.
Yep. Yep, you can absolutely do that.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we are into the last like 20 seconds or so, so we want to thank you for coming on with us, Second Stringer. Dr. Lyle Rupacki, JV extraordinaire.
Let's see if I can get that rating upgraded for next time, Lyle.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, not a problem.
Okay, and we want to do the other show that you referenced, by the way, in case people are like, wait, she forgot. No, I didn't forget. We're doing that other show, so call the guy and let's schedule it.
Let me see what I can do. He's got a book coming out. I don't know if he wants to release anything.
Tell him to just do it. We'll hold the show and we'll release it later. Lying is king these days. All right, you're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay. We got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down. We can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Until we close our eyes for good.